So. All right, let's talk all things Wisconsin sports. We've got our 98Q sports reporter, Mike Clemens, with us to do just that. Top of the morning to you there, Mr. Clemens.
Hi, Joe. How you doing?
We're doing fantastic. Some bad news for the Bucks here and the running down the stretch here with Bobby Portis being out for a big chunk of time. What does that mean? What does that mean to the team depth-wise and stuff like that as they try to get a good seed here in the final month or so of the season?
Well, it's a good thing they just brought in another guy that could play sort of that position. This Jericho Sims that they got in that recent rash of trades. But, no, it's, you know, Bobby Portis, this is a guy you count on for as much as maybe 20 points a game or so, and a good three-point shot, a good six-man coming in off. It's a 25-game suspension for taking a banned substance.
Yeah.
Which Doc Rivers says, man, that's, you know, it sounds really bad, but, you know, listen to what Bobby says. His agent immediately, see, it turns out, first of all, this had been going on for a while.
Right, they knew it was coming.
We didn't know anything about it.
They knew it was coming, though, probably. That's why they did that trade, probably, right?
Hey, you know, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
I just thought it was like they were trying to replenish, you know, in terms of moving on from Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
And some of the younger players that still haven't quite developed, and they were trying to get guys with more experience that are, you know, more for the now right now. And so that's what they've given away, either their oldest player or their youngest players, and taking guys with, you know, we'll give away two or three of those to get one guy that's got 4 or 5 years experience.
Yeah.
But anyway, they explained that, you know, Bobby had an elbow injury. Thought he was taking the painkiller Toradol for not only, you know, pain, but also inflammation to get the swelling down. And he was actually taking Tramadol, which was just added to the list of banned painkillers last spring. I mean, this sounds like an episode from Seinfeld, doesn't it?
It does.
You know?
Uromycetosis, yeah.
So, well, how did this happen? He's got a personal assistant. Oh, you know, you got some inflammation? Here, take this pill. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
And the guy, it was a prescribed drug, but he gave him the wrong one, one that had been recently added to the banned substance list last spring.
Yeah, and overall, this might be a blessing in disguise because Bobby Portis is going to be 100% healthy now going into the playoffs, Mike.
He sure will. He
yeah,
sure will.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he tested positive a while ago. These negotiations that are apparent, because the first thing was like, well, this 25 games, that's harsh. You guys going to peel? And Doc was like yesterday afternoon, he goes, no, look, you know, I can't get much more into it because it's, you know, it's the coach talking about the NBA. We're frustrated. But we're past that point.
Yeah.
And so now we had just talked to Bobby on Wednesday because Wednesday morning, Bobby Portis got a phone call from his mom at 7 a.m., about an hour and a half before he usually gets up. He said, hey, they caught the guys. They caught the guys. Remember last fall when he said, hey, my house got broken into. We were playing a game in Fox Point there in the north side of Milwaukee. And they took all my prized possessions, you know, watches, some trophies, and things like that.
Right.
And so this gang of seven that had gone around the country, like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, like from the Chiefs, they've gone all around the country. When they know these players are in a game or on the road, they break into their homes.
Mm-hmm.
So they caught and charged these guys on Wednesday. So Portis was there to talk basketball, but he did, you know, give us one quote about, you know, it's nice to have that justice now to see that these guys have been brought. But then the very next day, here he gets slapped with this fine. And the Journal Sentinel says this morning now, so he's out for 25 games. Starting with last night, they have 29 games left in the regular season. So he'll be back for 4 games in the regular season before the playoffs begin. He's going to lose $150,000 a night, Joel. That comes out to $2.8 million for maybe one pill.
Yikes, that's a lot, yeah. Well, it's a fun, could be a fun tournament run here for our Wisconsin teams. We got Marquette rated at 16, we got the Badgers rated 11, UW-Milwaukee's not a horrible team, they got a chance to win their Horizon League, they're right at the top. This could be a fun NCAA tournament for our Wisconsin fans.
It could be a loaded field there for the start. So Marquette, they dropped to 16th after that loss a couple of weeks ago, but now they're getting back. They're going to be at Villanova tonight. Cam Jones has been their leading scorer. But I thought it was interesting that Shaka Smart talked about how this Stevie Mitchell has come on for them. Now in his senior year, he talked about, it was just a couple years ago when he was a freshman in Smart's program and showed this burst, you know, didn't really know what he was doing out there, but showed this energy. And he's been that way now for the Golden Eagles, too, with, you know, the way he's been able to jump on and give them a burst. And as for the Badgers, I mean, Greg Gard, man, he's really pulled an incredible thing together in terms of in this transfer portal environment, putting together this balanced team that just seems to get better and better and scoring up to 90 points a game like they did the other night. They're going to take on the Oregon Ducks. I was surfing around. I saw the Ducks in Iowa, and they beat the Hawkeyes 80-78. So it's Oregon and the Badgers tomorrow at the Kohl Center. That tip-off time is at 11 a.m.
Yeah, scoring in the NCAA scoring has changed a lot, and I've been watching quite a few games, and you see point swings of 20 to 25 points go the other way by the end of the game. It's got more of an NBA feel to it, the NCAA does, with all these high-scoring games.
And I'll tell you, Joel, I had that exact same thought watching the Badgers game the other night when I thought, this is not Bo Ryan's team. they're draining from the three-point line, just like the guys in the NBA. And, you know, that's, and I'll tell you what, you've got to find those kinds of shooters. You've got to convince these kids that they've got to, you know, pass the ball around and to move it till you get to the best, highest percentage shot. Use the shot clock for that. And then let these guys set, plant, and you know, put that ball up from 3 points. And, yeah, I mean, that's how they got into the 90s the other night.
Yeah, Luke Fickell back as head coach of the Badger football team. Was that a surprise that he got that one-year extension?
Apparently not. The headline in the Wisconsin State Journal was routine pay raise. And a lot of people are like, what are they giving this guy a raise? He got a one-year extension? It like goes through now 2031 or 32.
Yeah,
and he's also getting an extra $100,000 a year. That's he's up to $7.7 million. Yeah. This is the Badgers football team we're talking about, gang. They went 5-7 last year. They missed the bowl games for the first time in 22 years. You know, he came in with this air raid offense and said we're going to pass. And he's had a lot of injuries. He's had a lot of good players leave in the transfer portal. And he's totally having to reinvent this thing going into year three. And he's up to $7.7 million a year. And, you know, I think a lot of fans think, to be fair, give him another year or two. But, you know, this guy's going to need to prove himself coming up here. Well, I think if I understand this correctly, in some way, the way they've restructured this thing is that if he doesn't work out, it will actually, in the end, it will cost the university less in terms of the buyout on the back end of the deal. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you're in this transfer portal era, and you've got to do these things to say, if you're going to draw these kids that want to be here, hopefully here for the next 4 years, you got to make sure that they feel, they and their agents now, feel secure that head coach is going to be there for all 4 years, and that they're not going to have to change horses in the middle of the run there. So, and actually, there was three or four, Kelly Sheffield, the hockey coach, three or four of the coaches that coached the fall sports, it was their number was up, and they all got rubber stamps from the board regents. That's what it came down to.
Well, it's the money part, of course. It makes watching college sports different. I was watching a Gopher game the other night, and the announcer said that the starting five for the Minnesota Gophers has 27 years of eligibility used up already. 27 years. Wow. There's a guy in there. They got a big guy, this Fox guy, who's 26 years old.
They've all got long beards.
Oh, my God.
They look like ZZ Top.
It's minor league now. You and I are from the same era. Is it weird for me to watch and think that there's guys on the floor and on the football field, they're already millionaires?
No, it's that Hurricanes, Miami Hurricanes basketball coach was 75, and he stepped down in the middle of the season in December, and he said, you know, I'm 75, it's time, I've got a great assistant here, we're going to hand it over to him. But, you know, later on in the presser, if you hang around for that, he said, look, here's what happened. 2 weeks ago, I had one of my star players that I recruited that's doing a great job, and he came in with his agent, and the agent said, okay, we're either getting 1.1 or we're moving on. Like, what? But where am I? I'm supposed to pay him a $1.1 million, and or you won't even listen to me having him coming back? Like, what planet are you guys from? Where am I supposed to get this money? Yeah. And that's when this guy said, after 45 years of college basketball coaching, I'm done. I don't understand this. I'm moving on.
Well, even with the Brewers losing some of the players in the offseason, with Coach Murphy there, you got to be excited because you never know what's going to happen. I think he can spin a pretty competitive team with whatever he's got.
I would love to bring you along and go into the clubhouse before a game and listen to this Pat Murphy where he would say, Joe, where'd you get those shoes? You know, what's your name? He'd want to know your name, where you're from. Oh, how long have you been doing this? Oh, I've got some friends that live up there, you know? Mm-hmm. That's the way he would start. And then he'd make a joke about you. and then they'd move on. But that's how he brings people in. And he looks you in the eye. He's very sincere. And that's what he did with those players last year. I mean, he just took over. It was such a change in that clubhouse, and these guys were performing.
Yeah.
So it's spring training, and the owner comes down and talks to my buddies who are down there, you know, covering this week for sort of the media day. And Mark Antanasio comes in, and they said, well, yeah, hey, you got to the playoffs last year. Now, you lost a couple of, you know, key guys to free agency, like Willy Adames got the big payoff to go to the Giants. And he said, yeah, you know, we're a source for entertainment for the fans in Milwaukee. They love coming to the ballpark and seeing the games. And these young players, I mean, they know if they come here, Murph's going to give them every opportunity to move on, and then, you know, they can maybe get one of those big deals. And it's like, you just described a minor league team.
Yeah.
What about we're a couple of wins away from a World Series? Like, what happened to the guy who took over the Brewers 20 years ago with a group of investors, and after years of Selig, you know, Bud, and then his daughter Wendy when he became commissioner, saying, you know, we're in a small market, we need a new stadium, and you're lucky to have the Brewers still in Milwaukee. There's all these other bigger markets who would rather have them.
Yeah.
And now here this guy is drinking the same Kool-Aid. Like, you know, what about what it's going to take to win?
Setting low expectations, it's a wonderful place to start, though, Mike.
Well, you know, I suppose. But, you know, that stuff gets out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it might make a decision on if you're going to be able to hold on to a guy or bring a Rhys Hoskins, you know,
right,
Milwaukee, a guy who's looking for a chance to get a ring.
Right, exactly. Mike, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
I will. Thank you, pal.
Thank you, Mike Clemens. He's our 98Q sports reporter. He covers all things Wisconsin sports, and he'll be with us again next Friday morning right around 8:15.